Welcome back to Reality NSFW. The time is here. We finally have a Big Brother cast. Johnny and I have been talking the last couple weeks about the road to Big Brother 23, looking back at the train wreck that was Big Brother All-Stars 2. We talked to Memphis and Christmas. We talked to Enzo. Had some good times trying to remember the positive. But Johnny and I, we had to bring in some experts, the big guns here. We've got Bobby Goodsby here with us now, and Brent Wolgamott should be joining us any minute.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you heard the news, Zach. Brent, he is on this next season of Survivor, or Big Brother. Sorry. I don't know if you heard, because there's rumors going into this season that he was going to be on.
That makes sense.
I think that's the only reason he would not be joining us yet, but
he will be coming to us out of sequester, just to maintain illusion. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You think he could do that?
I think so.
They're letting him.
Oh, man.
They're letting him from inside the house actually podcast live.
Well, you know what? I think he might benefit the most from this podcast.
Yeah, some behind-the-scenes intel about these characters. Yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, on Survivor, we had our phones in. So we did our finals in Los Angeles, and then we went to Miami to do our pregame stuff, which is the first time ever. Like, usually do it on location, but since we jumped off the boat, we did it in Miami. And so we had our phones the end, just to, you know, create the illusion that nothing was strange here. We had our phones until, like, right before we left to head to Panama. And so in Miami, during all this press, I'm calling Thunder D. I'm just like, yes, there's this mullet head tie dye guy. And he's like, yeah, get rid of him. So I feel like this is a very similar deal. Yeah, I didn't know that was the twist.
Well, yeah, our goal here today then is, once Brett is able to join us from inside the house, we're going to give Brent the best knowledge that he can get so that he can go in and win this season.
He's messaging from inside the house. How amazing is this? I am coming. I got stuck at work 15 minutes, and that was 1 minute, 14 minutes. He will be live from inside the sequester house. This is a really exciting time for Reality and SFW. I feel like this is an exclusive.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about this house that he's inside of right now and this year's theme, and then we'll go through in alphabetical order this entire cast. I'm pretty excited. So the theme this year, I've heard described as a beach club casino or Monte Carlo meets Vegas.
Or Star Wars Rogue One?
What?
Didn't they have like the casino thing in Star Wars Rogue One?
Yeah, you're right. I remember.
Jesus. Okay. I'm like, thanks for the back. Oh my God. Did I jump on the Cool Guys podcast and I just thought that I was with the reality experts? My bad. I had no idea.
I need a brush up on my Star Wars. I totally forgot about that reference.
Yeah, well, Rogue One, it could have never happened. I think we'd be okay. I enjoyed it, but like, would it have really added anything other than AT-ATs and palm trees?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No, I thought for a second there, they legalized weed in Virginia today. I was like, is everyone just high in Virginia? The air is just nonsense vapor. All right. So that makes sense.
Yeah. I'll be wearing my Danville Cannabis Club t-shirt for my follow-up podcast. If you want to let it go live after this, I'm going to have Jack from The Circle season 2.
Yeah. So the other thing along with that theme is we're going to have four teams with captains. We just saw some teams on Big Brother Canada. They lasted for about 12 days or so. Mm-hmm. Do we think Big Brother US is going to stick with the team theme a little bit longer, or are we expecting this is going to blow up in their face?
I mean, Big Brother US, we've always known to be the ones that like to ride their high horse. So they think when they've got something, they've got it, and nothing can tell them otherwise. So I see this going at least 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks into the season. I would say that's almost definite, because we've seen them do this in the past and they've stuck with it. Even if it was a failed or a flop situation, they still stuck with it. Big Brother Canada knows when to cut their losses, but Big Brother US, not so much.
How long does most of the failed concepts of Survivor go? About 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Do the same thing. Like Ghost Island, number one, never saw a single fucking ghost. False advertising. I am still fucking upset about that. Like, I figure at least one castaway would be a ghost, right?
Yeah, and it's just
Like he wins the immunity necklace and it falls through him. You're like, oh my God, what are they going to do? But no.
Or they could have at least had like Eric Reichenbach covered in flour, just wandering around the island.
That would have been sweet. You know, he was available.
Yeah, of course. No, I was so mad to see the team theme. God. All right. But this cast is great. I won't. Yeah.
Go ahead. Hold on. I'm for the team theme on a returning player season.
Yeah, like
a team thing would have ruined the blob alliance that ruined All-Star 23 or All-Star 22. So, but no, on a new season, not necessary. So yeah, I think they heard what was wrong with last season, but it's just like, yeah, but it's okay with new people. That's not the problem.
Well, and we've seen them do it with what season 14, where Dan and all them got to pick their teams and that lasted as long as it did. And then we saw that in season 18, where they had Nicole who ended up winning that season. They each had their teams. It's just something that they like to do. And it's usually when they have some kind of returning people, this is the first time where it's an all new cast. So I'm with you. I don't think it's a great idea for a new cast, but it's something that maybe because it's all newbies and not just coaches, maybe that's something we can see. I'm pessimistic at best.
Yeah. Would you guys agree with that? Kyle Dorr saying the team theme only worked on BB11, 14 and 18, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. I might not like those seasons in that order, but in terms of the team theme. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Cool. So let's get into the cast. Has to be said right off the top. We've got a 50% BIPOC cast here, I believe. So huzzah, good work. CBS here getting together, I think, a really diverse, interesting cast. So we'll get to see what that is going to look like here.
Well, real quick, but my issue with Big Brother, and has been forever, you always have like the one old guy or the old girl.
That's still happening. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's the one 40-year-old on this season. Would you guys be vehemently against an old versus young season of Big Brother?
No. I think that sounds kind of fun, actually.
I think it sounds fun too. Like maybe like 40 plus and then like what? 30 and under? Like, do we just cut that 30 to 40 range?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to create a gap visually and like cultural references. Yeah. I like that actually. That'd be fun.
Yeah. As I said, because you always had that one old dude, and I'm just like, I mean, like, and even if I mean, because lots of times that one old dude, I'm just like, oh my God, I hate him. You know, but occasionally, like, I'm just like, all right, I hate him, but you know what? I bet this guy isn't that bad. And if there were other old dudes there and other old women there, like, I'd be like, all right, I can live with this. But like, when you have that one old dude that just stands at you, you're just like, yeah, fuck that old dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as everyone in the chat saying, like, Jerry is a standout. Rennie is a standout. Cliff. But I mean, other than that, yeah, Cliff was fun. But
Chicken George.
Of course, I mean, that's going way back. They're few and far between.
Yeah, yeah, they don't have a lot of longevity in the game. That's for sure.
No. So I just thought, man, am I wrong on this? I'm like, you know, would this turn off so many viewers? And I'm thinking maybe the opposite. I think people are thinking the way I would. Just like, hey, I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donnie's old. He looks old.
Yeah, Donnie was not nearly as old as he looked. That was so weird.
No.
And I heard Donnie in a bedroom beside me make some noises with a young gal. So.
Yep. heard Donnie do some things.
For Donnie.
Yeah.
Cool. So like I said, we're going to go through this cast alphabetical order by first name. First up, we have Alyssa. She is 24 years old from Sarasota, Florida. She says she's a swimwear designer. I think she's an aspiring swimwear designer, yeah. Based on her bio.
My friend Tyler was a jewelry maker, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I think he still is, sort of.
Yeah, well, I think he's just as much a jewelry maker as he was prior to Big Brother.
Yeah. So Alyssa talks, what stood out to me with her is she talks a lot about a vision board and how she's never been out of Sarasota. So,
yeah, I mean, if you've never left somewhere, you should probably have a vision board more than most. I mean, if you've been all over the place and you have a vision, like that's just called like a ticket stub holder.
Yeah.
Hershey's I want to go lots of places. I ain't been nowhere. I really want to go lots of places.
I mean, you're 24. You've never been outside of Sarasota yet. Your first time out, you're going to go on reality television in LA on national television. Sounds like it's going to be a great experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she seems cool. She's obviously beautiful. I don't know how this is going to go for her. Like in terms of like, I think she'll stick around for a while, but is she going to be a threat to win? I don't have her there.
She is a super fan from what she says. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, we see this time after time where people say they're super fans and they super fans because they watched an episode in Sequester.
Hey, my good friend David was a super fan. He was on All-Stars.
True. That is true. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he just ran that house, man. I'll tell you what. I mean,
well, she does know that there's initials HOH, so that's a good sign.
That's a sign. Yeah. That's a sign.
I actually kind of buy her being a big fan. The strategy that she outlines is pretty much like what's accepted as the dominant strategy. Win the first HOH, get powerful allies, hide behind them. And move in the shadows, like, perfect, yeah.
And pick someone from the other side as, like, your final two, so you have intel on both sides of the house. That's 100% what I would do if I were to go in the house.
Yeah, so, she has the blueprint on how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Being a super fan like that, and in the age of 2020, 2021, you know, going into this for her, I mean, I'm sure she could reach out to one of your more successful players easily and ask to be coached up. Mm-hmm. And I think simple conversations like that with brilliant players can take you so far. I mean, because a lot of people don't understand reading the diary room stuff. Like, you know, when they're leading with questions, some people don't get, I mean, like you can be a super fan and not get that. I mean, because we don't hear as a fan watching the show, you don't hear the questions that they're asking, but you hear all these stories afterwards. And it's the same on Survivor, you know, like say on Pearl Islands, you know, like Dara isn't on my radar. She's not coming after me. We really have that, like, you know, our gameplays have nothing to do with one another, and our roles in each other's lives on the islands are insignificant to one another. And then out of nowhere you have, you know, production going, so like, what do you think of Dara? I'm like, she's fine. You know, like, you would say that your friendship is pretty solid, right? I'm like, oh fuck, Dara's coming after me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
but you know, but as a fan, like, you don't know that, like, you know, like you could go on there and be like, you know, I think we're really good friends. And it's just like, no, that was the clue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not.
Yep.
So why do I have to keep repeating that I love Dara? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Why do you want me to say word for word, Dara would never fuck me over?
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going home tonight because of Dara. Yeah. Why do I need to say that 8 times?
Yeah. So Alyssa's got potential. I mean, like you said, there's not a lot of age diversity on this cast. It's a whole lot of single 20 somethings, which by the other hand, you know, that's what Big Brother does in the summer. Yeah. Like it's a summer fun show. I teach high school. My students watch this show because it's like kind of like hookup show. It's hot people. It's like a dating show light. So I'm cool with them doing it. I'm not going to hate on it, but we got a lot of young people here. Next up is someone who I really like, and I hope I'm getting her name right. I'm assuming it's Arabic, and it would be Azza. She's 30 from Baltimore, Maryland. She is a director of sales operations, and she is most definitely a big fan because she's talking about June and Allison and Keisha's birthday all over her bio. I like the looks of her. I like that she's a little bit on the older side of this group, and she looks very chill and relatable. I'm strong on her right out of the gate.
I'm the opposite.
Good.
I am the polar. You know, she wants to spot the power players early, annihilate and divide them one by one. She wants every house guest to feel like that they have her in their pocket. That sounds like a play. That sounds like the ultimate floater. You know, like I'm not a fan of floaters. Like, play the fucking, like, as long as it's not me, fuck that. So if everyone thinks you're if they think that you're in their pocket, every player, that means they don't think of you as a player. And I'm not rooting for someone that's not a player in the game.
Yeah, I think for me, I side more with Zach on this one. I liked some of the things she said in her bio. She does seem like she knows this game because she was pulling some old school references. Like her favorite player is June. And she's talked about how, you know, back in season four, how June and Allison, you know, went to the final two together. She wants to get a ride or die like that and make a run. Now, granted, that could just be something that she's seen. We don't know. Maybe that's the only season she's seen. But the fact that she's
pulling, you're not picking, like, if they're making you watch a season, they're making you watch one from like the last three, like on Survivor. Like my favorite is every Survivor bio for like the last 5 years is like, my favorite player is Michaela, my favorite season was Kagayan. Like, wow, they have one DVD
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I think she is a fan and she will have a good grasp of this game. But I'm kind of waiting to see. The one interesting fact about her, did you guys see that she's got like 300 cousins, that her grandfather was a polygamist and he has like something like 70 some odd children and she has 300 cousins? Like, if she can deal with that many personalities, she should be fine with 16 people in one house.
Yeah, she's got that and she's exceptionally well traveled. So I like that about her.
I like her. I just don't like her strategy.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I can see that. I think that, you know, the whole like I'm coming for the power players could lead her to being in the middle with not much footing to do anything. And it also could lead to her like coming out really strong out of the gate and being a, like, she might make a move early, but then she's the next target.
Yeah.
We've seen that time and time again. Next up, we've got who? Oh, I don't know what to do with the next one. So we've got, I'm just going to go with their actual given names. I'm going to go with Brandon next, even though he appears to be going by Frenchie.
Yeah.
Sure. Brandon French or Frenchie. He's 34. He's from Clarksville, Tennessee, and he's a farmer. But I would like to tip my cap to Big Brother for giving us a non-stereotypical farmer. This guy is not what I expected at all when I first looked at him and saw that he was a 34-year-old farmer from God's country. He's a big fan. He's very funny. The Brittany and Rachel's hair extension reference as his favorite duo made me laugh out loud. That was very good. The non-cliche farmer, he's a card-carrying member of the NAACP. Like, that's great. I am interested to see how he fits in into this cast.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Sorry, I'm right there with you. I like that they got the non-traditional farmer. Like, finally, we got someone that doesn't just fit the mold of, hey, this guy's, you know, a country bumpkin who's just out in there to, you know, make friends and not really play the game. Like, that's generally what we get. Outside of maybe Cliff, that's generally what we get. And I do appreciate that. And I appreciate that he's not like a super old guy. He's 34. You know, he's not old by any means. He's old for this cast, but he's not super old. That I think he's young enough to make an impression with this group. I mean, I'm 32 and I feel like I'm right there with some of these younger kids. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not. But this guy's 34. That kind of fits my demographic. So maybe that's why I have a special place in my heart for this guy.
I love him. I mean, as far as the stereotypical farmer, I think that character archetype works best on Survivor, not Big Brother. So to see farmer reimagined on Big Brother, I like that. You know, basically, you know, set strategies are overrated and crumble. You know, so I like the fact that he is going in prepared to play a fluid game. I love. I mean, I think the best way to play any competitive reality television show in which there's voting by your peers is to play a fluid game, play a reactionary game. So, and you know, like versus I want to go in, I want to win the first eight. Well, I mean, win the first HOH, I'm okay. But like, you know, tell me like, you know, the last two thirds of your game, how it's, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Go in, say, I'm going to react to what I'm given. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, there's a couple different ways people write that in their bio, though. The way he writes it, I actually believe him that he's like, he's thought through different strategies and he's like, I don't want to have a set one because I might need to pivot. There's other people that go, I don't know. What's the point of making a strategy? We'll see what happens. Yeah, like, you can't predict anything. That's totally different.
Yeah.
We've got one of those in this cast.
Yeah. So, but Clarksville, Tennessee, home of Gretchen from Survivor Borneo. And she's on the morning radio show there. I'm guessing Brandon Frenchie French has listened to her a time or two And I like him. possible winner pick.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. That's a strong one. My biggest concern for him is he is a parent, which will separate him quite a bit from most of this cast.
Yeah.
And with that, we've got the next member of the cast to talk about, Brent.
Hi! Live from inside the house.
Oh yes, we did spoil it, Brent.
I've been listening. Yes, go ahead.
It was a rumor that there's a podcast host that talks Big Brother that's gonna be in the house, and here he is from inside the sequester house. Brent Wagamon, how is this possible?
Well, that's what I first of all, the reason I knew that rumor was BS for a multitude of reasons. Number one was, if they're gonna cast a podcast host, bitch, they're gonna cast me. On the other hand, I listened to the beginning of your podcast, and I heard what you said about the diversity when it comes to the age. And, you know, even though, look, bitch, I'm 46. I'm in the best shape of my life. And that's I'm being real with that. Okay. I'm in better shape now than I was when I was in the goddamn army, but they would not look at me for this show simply because of the fact that I'm 46 years old. I swear to God, they wouldn't. I might as well just call Robin Cass a complete bitch right now, because there's no way that they're going to put me on the show. So fuck off, all of you who do Big Brother, and I'm just going to sit here and podcast about it. Okay. That's cool.
It sounds as though that you're not in the sequester house, Brent.
Oh. I am not. Well, they cast a different Brent. I'm really excited. I have to say, I do take a little bit of perverse pleasure, even though I'm on very good terms with my former coworkers at RHAP, that they have to continually say the word Brent over and over again in their Big Brother coverage. I noticed that. I saw their little first look today, and when they said Brent for the first time, both Rob and Taryn kind of paused. They were like, Brent, champagne. Yes, Brent, champagne. That was very fun.
I'm sure that you've heard sentences or questions in your life that begin with the words Brent followed by champagne and someone handing you something.
Oh yes, there's that. Yeah, Brent champagne.
Oh, with that, there's not a better segue than to.
Are we on him now? Okay.
Actually on that Brent as you entered the studio. So yeah, well, that's perfect.
I mean, I'm going to be real. I thought he was a gay. I really did. But then I read his bio and he's like all about the ladies, even though he's like a flight attendant. And I'm currently dating a flight attendant and he's like really metrosexually. So really some weird signals here, but whatever. Do your own thing. Have fun. He obviously wants to play it up in the Big Brother house and flirt with the ladies and have a great time. So, I mean, more power to you. God bless you.
You say he's a ladies' man. He says he plans on using his skill in every social interaction in the house, male or female.
Oh, did I miss that?
Oh yeah, I'm calling right now, and maybe I've missed this in a previous season. I missed one here or there. First MFF or MMF three-way in the history of Big Brother.
I see it at the end. Yes, I didn't see that before. Okay, all I saw was the beginning where it said, yeah, I'd be lying. He said about being the single young man that I am, which that sounds cocky in and of itself. I'd be lying if I said the women didn't add to my excitement. There is no gay man on the planet who says that. None, not even. I swear, not even if you're bi, I swear that you don't say stuff like that.
I was gonna say, are we thinking maybe bi? Like,
I'm thinking he's straight with a very crafty gay friend.
Zanky 2.0.
Yeah, that sounds I was gonna say he's Zach Rance. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good.
He looks like Zach Rance kind of too.
Oh shit!
I somehow like him less than Zach Rance. I don't know how that's possible, but yeah.
Same.
my prediction for this guy is he will be hated by the fan base. He will play terribly, but he will go very far.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going with two out of three of those.
Well, his life motto is here for a short time, or here for a good time, not a long time.
Oh, yeah, like,
done. Like, this guy is gonna totally, he's gonna be fun to watch. I feel like, I think people are gonna hate him, and kind of like similar to like a Frankie in a way. And then just totally be like, he'll just go out in like a horrible style, like get backdoored or something.
Yeah. Well, I like to base my life mottos on Myrtle Beach bumper stickers too. But I don't feel that's.
Well, we have like, the thing is, we have limited information. We don't even have interviews to understand, like, well, how these people sound, how they interact with, you know, potential hosts of the interviews and whatnot. So going off the interviews, all I can say is he seems a little extra from the words he uses and the way he constructs his sentences. Now, of course, they could have helped him do all of that, but still, it seems like he wrote it himself, and this is how he is in real life. He's a little bit of a busybody. So like those people typically don't do well. They come off as overcompetitive. People are on to them very quickly in the Big Brother house. I don't think he makes jury. I'm calling it out. Sorry.
Yeah, we don't have video on anybody except for one who we'll get to, and I'm very excited about this one. So we'll
yes,
get to
we
that
do.
One.
And by the way, like if you guys already talked about Azah, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a little tea about Azah.
Oh, okay.
I do have tea. So a contact of mine told me that actually Azah's sister, who is a model, was contacted and recruited by the producers of Big Brother to be on this season of Big Brother. However, she was under contract, and instead she said, well, why don't you take a look at my sister? She's a big fan. And that's how Azah ended up on the show. And that's
so
how
she is a fan.
Yeah, she is a fan. Yes. I had a heart attack for a moment when somebody was relating the story to me, and I was like, oh, so did she not even write that bio? Because that bio reads like like Twitter manifested a player to go into the Big Brother house. Okay. Yes. But no, it is indeed her. So I'm excited to see her, and she's like, again, like everything I'm hoping and dreaming for. It's so weird because she literally say like, and her favorite player is June, and like all these things that like only I say those things. Only people who live like me and watch the shows I watch and listen to the podcasts I listen to say those crazy things. So the fact that she like knocked it off all the way across the board and they took her as a contestant, no less. I'm very high on it. So
I like all that about her. I just don't like that she's going in with, you know, I'm going to be a floater. I'm going to hide. Yeah. And it's like, ugh.
It was like, yeah, I don't think she knows what I don't think she knows what she wants to do. And I know people who said that on Sequester. They were like, I want to go in and I want to be a floater. And I want, you know, I don't want people to notice me. But then like you get in the game and your juices
and you're like,
come
I'm
out.
Me, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's very hard to hide, especially in a 90-day game. It's very hard to hide who you are.
Yeah.
If it, and you know, and if she seems really competitive. So I don't think she's gonna be able to hide it any anywhere.
I'm totally down for that. I don't I have no desire to see her not be how great she can be.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, totally flipping it. Here's someone I couldn't stand any less. Brittany, my least favorite profile by a millionth degree. She's 24. She's a kindergarten teacher from Niagara Falls. It's the longest bio I've ever read, and I gave up halfway through it. And, and she reminds me of every kindergarten teacher I know.
I'm with you, yes.
Ugh.
And the worst fair play is that all of the references that she made for like the first half of the bio is all from like 16 on. Like she's never heard of Dan. She doesn't know who the fuck Dr. Will is. Like she's all about the Derek and Cody show of the Hitman and Tangela and all these people who think they're goddamn stars right now. Like letting Us Weekly know, oh, I'm going to go to the supermarket now. Can you get some paparazzi out there to make sure you get my photograph? Okay, yeah, we see you, Tangela. Bye. Okay.
Yeah, right. And like she's 24, still talking about
see,
being
Bobby,
a valedictorian
in college. I'm not at RIJP anymore. I can say what the fuck I want about Tangela over here.
This
that's
is the stuff
is.
I get from Brit in the text. And now it's like on screen. It's so good.
Right? Yeah. Yes.
Well, I hate the way she spells Brittany. How about that?
Right? I know. Jesus. Just do it normally. My God. Yeah,
she's not special. Oh, but she's going to be authentic.
You guys, what about the fact that she's, twisted her ankle or broke her ankle or whatever it is, like 15,000 times? Like, that's going to bode well. And, like, half of it's from walking. Like, that's going to really bode well in this house. Like, she's going to do really well in competitions.
Oh, my God.
And in her bio picture, she's wearing like one of those printed tie-dyed shirts, not a tie-dyed shirt. It is printed to look tie-dyed.
I didn't realize how long this thing is. Oh my God. She, you know what, how she got on? She wore them down. It's so fucking long. Like I just kept scrolling and scrolling. Like she has like this is insane. She's a piece of work.
This is where I messed up, apparently. I should have wore them down a little bit more.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
This is my pick for first boot. I don't think she's going to last.
Think so? Okay.
Unless she's on a good team, it might save her. But no, there is no physical game. There is no social game. There is no strategic game. Brittany will annoy everyone in that house.
She looks like every Big Brother fan at Hearts Reality asking Tangelo for an autograph.
Guys, she has a mini snow globe collection that she's had since she was 10. Owns 173. Like, of she's course. In it to win it. When yeah, she so gets her mind on something, she finishes it.
She'll get home in time to look at them very quickly after sequester is over and elimination one.
Oh my!
And even if there is a battle back, they're not safe. They're like battle back starts with the second person evicted.
Well, I think I wish that. Wasn't there some show I wished that on? I can't remember. There was another show where, like, the person who was voted out, I was like, "Oh, please start the battle back second or something like that, so we don't have to deal with them anymore." Yes, that happens often.
We're going to eat so much crow when she comes on and ends up being like the next Dan of the show. Like, watch it happen right now.
Dan, I would like to think that Dan didn't wear prefab tie dye. Even if it says fucking Twitch on it.
No, Dan's not a fast fashion guy. I don't take him for that. So yeah, we're good. We're going alphabetical order, but I feel like these are just set up for us so nicely because the flip side to Brittany's like endless marathon of a bio is the shortest one I saw, which is the Jon Snow lookalike with different sized pupils, Christian.
Correct me if I am wrong. Was this bitch not in the cast when I first looked at the cast earlier today?
Yeah, he was a late addition.
And who was originally on the cast?
It was this guy, Caleb or Cole, something like that. They're going to...
They looked alike, though, didn't they? They both had, like, frizzy red hair, some brunette hair,
his last name was, like,
or
Smiley or something, like Caleb Smiley. Okay. But they look almost identical, just the other guy's skinnier, but they have the same exact hair.
Do they have doppelgangers of everybody in the cast?
They have them ready to go.
My first season of Survivor, the final day of casting, they take us to CBS from the hotel, and you go into the room and you're all sitting there. And I'm looking around and I'm like, holy fuck. It is two of every single person in that room, except for me. There was one of me, but there's two Rupert's. The other Krista was Victoria from the Victoria Fuller did The Amazing Race.
So,
there was two of every single person. So I'm like, I don't see another one because I was a late addition to casting.
Yes.
Oh. I'm
thinking about the other Rupert and what his life must be like.
This guy's like on the street somewhere.
You could have
like,
been a contender, man. He took it away from me.
God, it made me so happy. I wish the worst for either of them.
That guy is just hating his life right now.
But I went to the final audition and like, there's Les Moonves and all the producers, and they're just like, why do you think we're going to pick you to be on this show? I was like, because there's only fucking one of me. There's like two of every motherfucker in that room except me. I don't think you have a choice.
That's a great answer.
I wish we would have had a counter Johnny Fairplay just to see what this
fuck you.
Not on the show. Obviously not on the show, but just to see what this guy would be like as a human being. Like
no, because he wouldn't have said anything like I said in my final audition. He would have made it on.
I want to see Bizarro Pearl Islands with the exact wrong
me
cast.
Me too.
Can we get that cast?
Oh my god!
That'd be great.
So
Sandra Bizarro. Yes. Sandra walks around. She goes, "As long as it's me." I am in on every vote. I am
as long as it's me. Can you imagine?
Just the two-time first boot instead.
I can get stopped too. What the fuck?
Well, Christian, he is 23 years old. He lives in Harwinton, Connecticut. He's a general contractor. This is a really short bio. Do we know why he was a late minute replacement? What happened?
They haven't said anything to my knowledge. I haven't seen anything, but the fact that they chose this guy whose entire profile fits on like one little timeline. I'm like, really? You thought this guy was more interesting than the other one that someone said in the comments that he was like a Grateful Dead kind of guy. And this is more like a surfer kind of guy with the same aesthetic. So
I have his actual notes that this is like, what he, they come there. They're like, hey, you're in. Yeah, this is good.
Yes, that's all I need, right?
They didn't give him his weed that day, so he can get elaborate.
No chance.
Like,
no,
guys, I don't know much about him. I mean, like, there were people in the cast I gravitated to. I do not gravitate to this person. No. He looks like a stoner. No offense.
He doesn't know much about him.
Yeah, right?
Well, clearly, his bio has nothing. No.
Yes. I know. I predict right? bad TV. We don't get an interview. Maybe he could be. He could surprise me. People have in the past where, like, we get an interview, and I'm like, wow, like, they have actually have a really fun personality. I would like to be friends with that person, or they're kind of cool. But I'm so far not seeing it.
And can someone explain this to me? Because I've never heard this in my entire life. His life motto is, sometimes your ice pop falls on a penny. Is that an actual saying? And if so, what the hell does that mean?
No clue. I was wondering the same thing, Bobby.
What?
I got it, bitch. Okay. What it means is, sometimes when something bad happens to you, like, oftentimes it'll turn into something good. Like, fate has a way. Meaning, if you have your ice pop and it, like, melts and falls on the ground, it falls on the fucking ground. You're pissed, right? But you look down, it fell on a goddamn penny. You're like, I'm rich.
Yeah, this guy's really going to miss his meat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I feel like that proverb or whatever the fuck it is needs to be like, you know, sometimes your bomb pop falls on a Bitcoin.
Oh, right? That's much better.
Hey, exactly.
You fixed it. They're not voting out.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Christian's upside is getting in a showmance with Alyssa, and then they can, like, be influencers off screen and just go away.
Oh, so
I'd be happy for that.
He shittily makes jewelry, or doesn't make jewelry.
I was just going to say that. Shortly, he'll be making jewelry after he's second.
Yes, there's jewelry involved in this guy's future.
Yeah. Definitely.
Made with pennies.
Yeah. penny jewelry. Oh,
it all comes together.
Yes, thank you.
Well, we've said more about him than he said about him. So let's move on. Here's Christy. She is 27 from Philly, lives in Hollywood. She's a professional dancer.
Uh-huh.
So my first thought on Christy is, her favorite activity is to drink spicy margaritas on the rooftop at sunset. And she might be my favorite person in the cast. That sounds fantastic. Right there with you. I think she'll fit in pretty well. Her personality seems fantastic. My only concern for her is, obviously, when you look at her photos, she has lost her hair. I'm assuming alopecia or something of the sort. I truly don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, she talked about it in her bio that she lost her hair. Yeah, she lost her hair. You can tell how well
I read these. Though honestly, I didn't look at many of the white people. I'm just putting it out there right now. Unless we're really hot, I didn't look at you. I didn't give a fuck. But I read the top. I know. Yeah, but not for me, obviously. I did read the top of her bio. The minute I saw her and I saw that she was a dancer and she's from Hollywood, I'm like, she is going to annoy the shit out of these people. Like, dancers are nutcases, man. They really fucking are. Like, especially competitive dance people, like, that live in Hollywood and actually do it for a living, which she seems to. She's like, seems to be part of a group. And then I know that sounds great, Zach, was sipping margaritas on the goddamn rooftop, but bitch, they don't get alcohol in the Big Brother house. They get like 6 beers for 14 fucking people. 16 fucking people. So yeah, she's not gonna get liquored up anytime soon. So I don't think she's gonna turn in the party.
Yeah. I know, I hear you, but she didn't strike me as like a dancery woo girl kind of person. I thought she seemed relatable.
Okay. All right. I have a question, because Brent, I feel like you've thrown me off the trail here. You think she's like a professional dancer or a professional dancer?
No, like a professional dancer. She's a professional dancer. What do you mean?
like the good kind.
Like the good kind. Yeah. Like the good kind. Like, obviously.
I think our definition of good kinds are different.
I used to be a former sex worker. I mean, like, sex work is really hard. And
well,
like,
sex worker doesn't mean sex worker.
I know, but I thought that's what you're leading into. Like that kind of dancing, like dirty dancing or something like
that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no, I think she's a legit dancer. She's competitive.
I had fucking possible winner pick. I'm chained first, second boot. Wow. Okay. Thank you for enlightening.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
The one thing that really put me off to her was, I guess she's going to go into the house not showing that she is bald. She's going to go in and try to use that at the right moment to shock people and wow people. And I don't know if that's going to have the real effect that maybe she wants it to. And that's one thing I worry, because that kind of strategy, like, I don't know what her situation is, and I'm not trying to say anything about that, because I have no idea. We have no video. We have nothing about this person. But I just think that kind of falsehood about yourself might not play well in the house.
Yeah. This is going to be awesome. Like that's all that's going through her head right now. Like I'm like, this is gonna be a fucking moment. She has, they're all gonna love me.
I agree. Yeah. So I will say, I think she can get away with it because she's not gonna have to lie. Like it's not like anybody asks you about your goddamn hair. Like what's your hair like? Like I mean, like nobody says that. They just accept your hair, the hair on your hair as is, and no one ever asks you about it because they don't want to be fucking rude. And then by the time she, you know, relates it to people, maybe it can be like a tender moment or something. Like, I mean, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt on this one. And also these people are, although I say this every year, like these people are highly aware that they're on the live feeds and that they're being watched by America, but inevitably some of them manage to look like assholes anyway. So you never know how people are going to react to something like this.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other concern with the hair thing is struggling to conceal that could alienate her a little bit at the beginning. She might not be her true self. She might be like, I don't know what that looks like, concealing that you're wearing a wig or something the whole time. So hopefully that doesn't get in the way of her forming genuine bonds. But I agree with you, Brent. I think that could be a tender moment of like, hey, look, I'm on television. I'm going to show this off, like that I have this going on. I think it could be great.
Two things. Number one, I agree with you, Heather. She gives me Christy vibes, and I think it's the eyes. When you look at her picture and her cast photo, it just like those big light blue eyes. Well, not that light blue. I know. Thank you for that. I meant brown. The big eyes just make it look like she's somebody who's going to be annoying and like she's like Jan on season 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race. If you didn't watch that season, Jan was like always at an 11. She can never, at least it's kind of like me, she's never able to turn it down, and those people are fucking annoying. So I don't know if she's going to be able to turn it around or not. I also wanted to ask this. I cannot go any further without asking this question. Bobby, what the fuck happened to your face?
Oh.
Was it A, cat, B, baby?
Or no. Dancer.
I talked a little bit off air, but unfortunately I was in a car accident.
Oh,
it's
no.
Okay. Oh my God, it's okay.
That's terrible. I was hoping it was something like really fun, like your baby grabbed you or something.
I was like, oh man, I'm going to make him feel so bad, but I didn't mean to. No, baby wasn't there. Everyone's okay.
Okay.
I don't want to really get into it, but everyone's okay. But yeah, this is all I got in a little chest pain.
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
You look good. It wasn't a car wreck.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
You should have saw me a week ago.
Yeah. Well, all right. Steady rolling. Rolling on ahead.
Thank you, CBS, for waiting until the week before to.
Yeah.
No more COVID quarantines. What the fuck?
Right.
Next up is a guy I'm excited to talk about. It's Smoke and Derek Frazier, the Hellraiser.
This dude is crazy, man.
Yeah.
He is absolutely nuts. First of all, he's queer. He is the son of Smoke and Joe Frazier. He does drag occasionally, skag drag, like where he still has his beard and like dresses up in women's clothing. He is absolutely my fucking hero. Like, I want to know who you are and how they found you and like how they got CBS executives to let you on the show, because I swear to God, a year ago, they would not have put him on the show. But I'm so glad they're looking at people in a new light. They're putting people who don't look like goddamn supermodels on the show. Now, I always have fun with a supermodel. And of course, I said earlier, I was only looking at the hot guys and whatnot. But nevertheless, for my money, when it comes to strategy and like actually watching the game, I love people like this, and he seems really, really hot to play. So I can't wait to see what he does.
I want him and Frenchie to be in an alliance.
Yeah, you think so?
That'd be great.
I'm so for it. Like, I like Final Two, just running the show, doing fucking Chill Town confessionals together. For it.
This guy's gonna go far. This guy's gonna go really far, just based off his personality. He's fun, he's bubbly, he's, you know, willing to just bear all and just kind of like go for it, be him. And the fact that his dad, you know, is Joe Frazier, the late Joe Frazier, who, you know, he's not gonna want to probably share that, I think, going into the house, because people might use that against him. But maybe later on the line, when he establishes some bonds, he could be like, listen, this is who my father was. I wanted to, you know, share this with you guys. And then being his fun, bubbly self, I see that really working for him because of his personality. If it were someone else in this house, I don't think it would work.
I would bring it up early. I mean, like, older athletes like that, none of them still have their money. So if you're thinking this motherfucker's rich, he probably, I mean, he's a safety officer. It's like what this
I'm
guy
with you. Now that I think about it, actually, I would probably veer on the side of of outing myself just because yeah. like it sets you apart. I don't think people would want to put you up. Like,
no, I want to hear your story.
I want to, yeah, I'd like, I don't want to piss off whoever like supports you. Like, mm-hmm. at least not now, at least not early, you know?
So no, like, yeah. like the game of Survivor, the game of Big Brother, all that, like you're stuck in a house with no TV, no entertainment. No, you know, if it's a non-challenge, anything, you're just like, ugh. So Smoking Joe Frazier's kid has some fucking tails to tail.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep. And beyond that, I've been impressed. He seems to know Big Brother, actually, mm-hmm. Right? Surprisingly. And I've seen people all over the internet today saying like, oh, I've run into this guy. I know this guy. He's so nice. Like, I'm amazed to see him on the show. He's going to do amazing. So that's fantastic.
I have some. Potential bad intel. Did what? George Foreman KO Joe Frazier so bad he gave his kid's brain? Oh man, I don't know. If
that is Jeez. So wrong. That is terrible. So wrong.
Oh, is that? Oh, that's not. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was bitten back.
No. He said he went to military school when he was a kid. So that, like, I mean, like, I feel like a regimented, a certain form of regiment is always good for you to have when you go into something like Big Brother, because they're very strict with the house guests about what they can and can't do. And if you're somebody who's at least have a back, who at least has a background in that, I feel like you're going to fare well. So I think he has the tools to do okay. He seems to like know what he's doing. He reached like. Looking at his bio, he reached all across the Big Brother spectrum in terms of, like, you know, all the way from like Derek and Cody to Dick and Jen. I swear you could swing a dead cat in a Big Brother recruiting office and not find anybody who knows who the hell Jen from season 8 is of Big Brother. So the fact that he knows who it is fantastic. Yeah.
Yep. Lock it in now. He is my winner pick. I know a lot of people have him as the winner pick. I think that this guy's personality, with everything else he's got going for him, and the fact that we've seen more of a 50%, you know, people of color cast, I think that only bodes well for him, because now he's not the one guy in the house that is his, you know, his archetype. He's got other people in the house like him that I think that, because he's going to be so fun and so bubbly, I think that he's going to go very far. I and he knows the game. He's not just some guy that's going into this house being all bubbly and fun, but has no idea what he's doing. Right. That's why I think he's going to do really, really well in this house.
There you go. Heather Rogers writes, I remember Smokin' Joe being on Howard Stern years ago. He died broke. There we go. So I don't think it works against, I mean, like sometimes you have a celebrity, you know, relative, and it's just like, well, that motherfucker's got money. I don't give him money. But yeah, no. But a lot of those older athletes, you know, they got that little set piece of money versus all the money you can make now as a celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah, Bobby, I like that pick. I would love if that came to fruition. That'd be a very fun season. Confusingly, next up, we've got another Derek. I assume we're going to be going with Derek X. And Derek X is a sweet name. This guy is a startup founder, hailing from New York. He's 24. And he is so fascinating to me because he is blending in his interests chess and surfing. Those are almost two completely different personalities. And I'm very intrigued to see what that looks like in a human being who is both a surfer and an avid chess. I see a video of this guy interacting, because I can't tell how that's really going to manifest itself in a person.
I'm lagging, by the way.
Yeah, same here.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I just want to make sure. Okay, cool. Sorry, I heard most of what you said, Zach. But so you introduced Derek X, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, like I'm with you. He seems like a bit of a dichotomy to me. Like mixing surfing and chess, I've never even heard of that before. He seems like he's there to play. Seems like he knows what he wants to do. I would probably place him in the top half, like as in people who are probably going to make jury. Insofar as like his longevity in the game goes, it depends on how relatable he is. He seems kind of smart, and like sometimes those people don't typically come off really well in a house full of completely vapid and narcissistic people. On the other hand, the level of vapidity and, is that a word, narcissism, is a little bit less than what it was in years past. So maybe he'll find a little bit of a place where he can plant his seeds.
Well, right there with you not knowing the word in his bio is like, you know, I'm going to use, and then a layer of unassailable logical reason. I don't know what unassailable means. So 100%. Yeah. So right now, if like Derek X is talking to me and he's just like, yeah, like let's be unassailable about this. I'm just like, all right. I don't know what this guy means when he talks to me, so I'm going to have to get rid of him so I don't sound stupid.
Very eclectic. He could come off as weird to the house.
Yeah, that's why I want to see his personality. I'm intrigued to see if he's bizarre. I think he should avoid Frenchie for that reason, Johnny. I don't think that's a duo for the end.
What, Frenchie?
Yeah, Frenchie and Derek X.
Oh, Frenchie and Derek X? No, Frenchie and the other Derek, absolutely not. Derek X doesn't make the jury. No way.
If he does, it's like early jury. What was I going to say? I forget. Oh, go ahead.
And Derek's the first one at the jury to greet you when you get there. He's just like, hey, and they're like, oh, Derek.
This Derek, I just feel like this is the kind of person we needed a video of. This is the guy that we really needed to see video and how he's interviewed, because he seems likable. He's got a likable, you know, look to him, aesthetic to him. And in his bio, he's saying some of the right things. Like, you know, if you laugh at yourself first, then everyone's laughing with you. Like, I like stuff like that in your bio that explains, like, you can take it and you can give it. But the one thing I don't like is he's using these big words. Like you said, Johnny, like he's using words that 90% of people aren't going to really relate to, and he's a tech person. He started his own startup. Like, this guy is going to be someone that no one can really approach because they can't get on a human level with them, and that's the one thing I worry about his game.
That's unassailable that he does that. I'm not sure if that's the correct usage of the word.
It's not. It's
very, very
not.
Good.
and always on a reality show, when there's two of anyone, there's the cool one and the not cool one. There's two Derek's. This
is very true. Yeah,
it's the Nicole situation again. Next up is,
are we close to the middle break?
Yeah, we can do that. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsors, and we will be back to hear about the last portion of the cast.
I need a Coke.
Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you'll love, but without all the bad stuff.
We're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And there's only 140 calories a serving. This stuff's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, Birthday Cake. Birthday Cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it now while you can. You can also do the build your own box with available flavors to build your own custom bundle with cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon. If you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. Great news all around.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday. Go, Zach. It's your birthday. But also go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. Be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code SURVIVOR at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their products, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor. And use the code SURVIVOR to save $5. Thanks, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Go, Zach. It's your birthday. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us. Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
And we're back, and we've got seven house guests left to talk about.
Hey, super quick, Zach.
Yeah.
If you'd like to join Zach, Brent, and myself, I don't know, Bobby, are you going to make it? We're going to be in Mason, Ohio, July 17th at Sonder Brewing. Get your tickets right now at SurvivorTix.com. It is Zach's going away party. Zach is going to Morocco for 2 years. So, yes, come join me, Brent, and Zach, Saturday, July 17th, Mason, Ohio. Get tickets right now at SurvivorTix. That's SurvivorTix.com.
Yeah, it should be a blast.
If I wasn't,
it'd be fun.
If I wasn't, right? In Southern California, I'd be there. You know it.
I'm so excited because it's going to be fun, but it's also going to be kind of crazy because I'm going to be like, hi, Zach. Bye, Zach.
Yeah. Nice to meet you in person and see you in 2 years.
And see ya.
No.
All right. Who's next?
Next up, we have the lovely Hannah. She is from Chicago. She's a graduate student. And I was shocked to find out after reading through her bio that she is only 21 years old because she came across as really well-spoken to me.
Yep.
I'm 31. I thought she seemed super cool and someone that I would get along with a lot in her bio. You know, she was focused on getting good reads on people, which I like. I don't think she was just saying that either. She was talking about what she would look for and how she was going to assess strengths and weaknesses and how it fits into her game. That's a pretty brilliant strategy going in. She's not saying I'm going to do this, that, and that in this order. She was saying I'm good at reading people and here's how I'm going to do it. I think she might pull that off.
Yeah. So I'm going to be real. She's probably one of my favorite people in the cast. Mm-hmm. She seemed really empathetic. Like, she wasn't talking in big words, unlike Derek X. And not that everybody does that, but the way she communicated through her sentences and through her bio, you know, again, without the lack of an interview, but still, I felt like I got the gist of who she is as a person coming through the pages. And I feel like she has a pretty good grasp of the game as a whole. She knows who she is and how she wants to play it. I feel like she's going to be able to bond with these people and make them trust her. And I don't feel like anybody's really going to want to vote her out. Again, I could be surprised. Sometimes people are annoying and you never know they're going to be annoying. But she seems like somebody who's in it for the long haul to me. And she also seems like a really fun, good person. Like, the things that she said in her bio are the fans that, like, you want a big brother person of her stature to say, like, you know, like, I loved, you know, watching Dan and Danielle, you know, on Big Brother 14 when he blindsided her. And I loved watching Bailey and Davon, you know, work as a duo together on Big Brother All-Stars. And I love watching Davon when, you know, America's Favorite House Guest. Like, all of, like, the heart-stopping moments that we connect with as fans, she connects with as a player. So that leads me to believe that she's going to do well.
See, I do like her. I think she's going to be very fun in this house. She's going to be spicy.
You're down on her. Let's hear it. Yes.
I think she's going to be a spicy personality. Just reading what she says here. She said, I don't have to be everyone's friends in the house, nor do I want to be, but I fully intend on learning everyone's strengths and weaknesses. And then she says, I won't have a problem exploiting their weaknesses for my benefit and aligning myself with those whose strengths can compensate for my own shortcomings. I get that. I understand that. But I feel like that could bite her in the butt if she pisses off too many people with that kind of gameplay, where she just going running around the house using that to her benefit, being like, well, they said this about you. Well, they said this about you. We could see a short exit for her real quick if that catches up to her early in the game.
Yeah, that was what was happening with, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you for a play. I just had a flashback to last season with Davon when she, like, she wasn't going around telling people stuff, but she was going around, like, checking and testing people on things that she had heard about in the house, and in doing so really got her own ass on the fire, so to speak, because
for no reason.
She couldn't keep her mouth shut and just trust it. So, you know, nevertheless, no matter which way you cut it, by doing that, you're going to create suspicion amongst people if you're talking about other people or asking them about other people in ways that you otherwise shouldn't be. So I take your point on that. I guess I was going to give her the benefit of the doubt because I liked her bio so much.
Yeah. Heather Rogers states, first Indian ever cast in the U.S. version of Survivor. She's
Big Brother.
Sorry. I was just remembering the promo code for Blue.
I didn't even catch it.
What about Ovi?
He's not Indian, is he?
Is he Indian?
I don't know.
I thought he was Pakistani.
My ignorance is showing. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I thought he was.
I thought he was Bangladeshi. Maybe.
He's available. You know what? That's right.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
We can get him on right now. It's not a problem. she's one story or the other. As I said, without videos, without hearing her in context, like she is either awesome or she is not. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping she's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, me too.
I would like the triumvirate of Frenchie, Derek, and Hannah.
She seems like somebody I would bond with. Yeah, I would, or at least I would like to bond with.
Like, I said, she could be. I mean, like, the Circle season two, the first girl voted out. You watch her little bio thing, like, and that's with video. And me and my daughter are like, this is our pick. We love her. She's awesome. She's the new Sammy. She's great. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, 18 seconds in, you're just like, wow, she sucks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've been there. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, Hannah says I don't need to be friends with everybody, but here all four of us are sitting here going, I want to be friends with her. So that might be a very good sign for her if she can come across that way.
Yeah.
Next up, it's a good thing we're only an hour or so into this, because this guy I could talk about for another hour. Kyland, I love this guy. He's 29 years old. He will turn 30 in the house. Currently living in Venice Beach. He's an account executive, but more importantly, Get Hurricane Howie off the Bigfoot hunt. This guy is a Jedi. This is the second Jedi to enter the Big Brother house. So freaking cool.
We were due. He would have got the Rogue One reference, Bobby. Zach. Yes.
I would have got the Rogue One reference
if I was here. I'm a massive Star Wars fan. Girls. Kylan can get it. Let me just say, he is hot as fuck. Yeah. I thought he was family. I don't think he is as in gay. I thought he was gay based on his Instagram. I think he's just like a straight ally. I don't know. You never know with people these days. He'd be totally fluid. Hell if I know. But whatever he is, thank you for being a fabulous ally, no matter what you are. And you look awesome. I loved your bio. And I'm really excited for somebody like him to play. Like, he seems really, really psyched, and he seems like a ball of energy. So, I mean, how can you not root for a guy like this?
Yeah.
The tricking people at Comic-Con pretending to be a cop so you can cut in front in line, that's so good.
Terrible. I love that, though. I know, right?
I'm sitting here wondering, I'm like, is this the Big Brother version of Johnny Fairplay? All right, so despite the hair color, similar hair, I, too, at one time was an account executive living in Venice Beach, California. I've stood right there where he's standing in his picture. I know that spot. And I used to go to E3 every year. I had a friend that worked at Sony, and I would take a friend of mine who was a welder or something, very, very gruff. And so, like, all the games, like, you know, there's all these big long lines of nerds waiting to play these games. And my friend would walk up and goes, yeah, we're playing next. And they're like, yeah, it's cool. Yeah. So I feel like that's comparable to the cop story.
Okay. Given those similarities, Kylan's screwed.
No. I think I did pretty good.
I think you did pretty well. That was pretty awesome. Well. Yeah.
Yeah, no, his bio was super long, but everything that I was reading, I was drawn to. Like, yeah. he knows how to talk, not just about himself. He does it in a fun way that I don't feel is arrogant or self-centered. Yeah. And the way that he talks lively about situations and stuff, I think that's going to play great in the house. And he seems realistic. He understands he's going into this game, and he's just got to kind of play it cool, just kind of make allies and see where this game takes him. I don't see him going too hard, too fast. I see this guy getting really far in the house, possibly, you know, end of jury.
Yeah. Why is he the opposite of Brittany?
I couldn't tell you.
I mean, because he is in every way.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the thing I like about him, I guess, the most is that he's like, he's very much like me in terms of like, he knows all the 20 like past best picture Oscar winners for, you know, for the Academy Awards. Like, he's read all of the Twilight books. Mm-hmm. Like, these are all things that are true of myself. And like, I just feel like that makes him a pretty excitable presence. And Big Brother, like, let's be real, it can be really monotonous at times. It's a 90-day game.
Yep.
That's really long. Not a lot happens in between the ceremonies, and you're kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop as far as production goes. Somebody like this that can entertain himself, I would bet on him over most of these other people.
Mm-hmm. Heather Rogers writes, he reminds me of Wendell too, but maybe a more athletic Wendell. Ooh, shots fired.
Oh, shots fired.
And I'd say Wendell 1.0, not 2.0.
Yeah.
I mean, let's hope. I love Wendell 2.0. He's a bit like,
yeah, Wendell 2.0, for my money, I was so much more entertained by and so much right? less bored by. Yes. Well, thank you.
I won't say the second part. He is a good friend.
Well, I was just like, you should have heard my rants on that season. I actually did a show with Taryn and Melissa for that season about halfway through the jury when Laurel was annoying the piss out of me, and she was an RHAP patron at the time. I don't know if she still is, and she would not make a fucking move against Wendell and Dominic. And I was so, of course, like we saw it as a march to the end with Dominic and Wendell. And I actually, that season was not spoiled, fair play. And I called her. I didn't even know how I did this. I said, she's like, I'm gonna get to the end, and I'm gonna, like, they're gonna split the votes, and I'm gonna win. And I'm like, what you're gonna do is get to the end, and it's gonna be split, all right. It's gonna be them tied, and you're gonna cast the deciding vote. I said that like 6 weeks before that finale even aired. So wow. Like, that's, I know, right? I was like,
soothsayer Brent.
Again, let me tell you, I still have that clip somewhere. But yeah, like that, I never ever doubted that Wendell was gonna get to the end of the game. So that's why I was bored by him. But yeah, to Wendell 2.0. Never bored by him, not one iota.
Yeah. And Zach and I will be with Donathan from Ghost Island.
Yes.
In 2 days.
Oh, in 2 days. Right. I thought he was going to come to Zach's going away party. You're going to be with him in 2 days.
He'll probably come to that too.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. So if you want to meet Donathan, he may or may not be there. Go to SurvivorTix.com. Roll the dice. It's just like Rogue One.
I will be there. I don't know like how long I'll be able to stay. Like, I'll be there at 1 o'clock and pray till like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I'm going to do my best. Yes.
There you go. You're good.
Yes. We'll be there. No, I'll spoil. This guy's my winner pick before we move.
Oh, wow.
Kylan is my winner pick. Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of like I see in the chat, someone comparing him to Tyshawn. I feel similar energy from him. I think people are going to gravitate towards him. He just seems like, very interesting and genuine, and the stories he's telling are funny. Johnny, kind of like you're saying about Derek Frazier, I think this guy's going to keep him entertained in a very boring house, and I think he'll be very positive energy all season long, and I think he's relatable and not too threatening.
Yep.
Because we'll get to the threatening guys in a minute.
Late jury easy, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Hey, guys, I apologize. I have a crying baby in the back, so I'm going to have to hop out. But I'm very excited about this season.
I'm glad you were able to join us, Bobby.
She's crying, and I got
to
go get her.
You don't have to apologize for baby.
Life happens.
Thank you, guys. See you, guys. Awesome getting to talk to you. We'll see you soon.
See you next week. Bye.
See you next week. Bobby next up, apologizing for being a responsible parent.
I know, right?
Yeah.
What have we come to? What have we come to, ladies and gentlemen?
The apologies never end.
Yeah.
That's why you didn't get on Big Brother. next up, we've got Sarah. She's 27. She's from Fort Myers, a forensic scientist. Basically, all her bio told me that I got out of it was that she's a big nerd. Maybe she can bond with Kylan.
Yeah. She's quirky. Maybe she'd get along with Derek X. I don't know. Like, she seems really smart, but she also could be like a little bit book smart and sort of street dumb in a way. Doesn't seem like somebody who is going to get along with everybody. I see her annoying some people. I think there's possibility of first boot here. I mean, let's call it. How do I want to say this politely? I feel like that the temperature in the house is going to make sure that someone who is white goes out first, because I feel like this is a big deal that CBS finally got on the fucking stick and cast more people of color at 50% or greater in the house. I think it's actually greater than 50%. I saw some people complaining that it was only 50%, but people of color, I think it's like 9 out of 16. So the fact that they did that is momentous, and you don't want to screw it all up by voting someone an underrepresented minority out first. They wouldn't do that. So I feel like that their odds are not necessarily bad that this girl could actually be the first boot of the season.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could tune in and opening night, she's not friends with anyone. I could see her being very much.
I am with you. Yes. Yeah. I'm with you on that. And also, like, it didn't even seem like she had that great of a grip on the history of the game, like, in terms of what she wants to do. It was all like, 16 and on stuff, which again annoys the shit out of me. Like, know your history if you're gonna go on a show like this. So,
yep.
I don't know. Like,
yeah, if you're the nerd archetype, you need to be a super fan.
Yeah,
I don't like this.
Yeah. Well, all I see is, right out of the gate, I plan to float. And I'm just like, okay, well, as a player, I hate you. However,
boring. Yes.
Vera Stegall, I would date you.
Yeah.
So I will be watching her for all the wrong reasons.
Here's the thing. I do not, fair play, I do not understand. And I know you did this amazingly well on Survivor Pearl Islands. You were able to be your authentic self, like play as hard and as like messy as you wanted to play and still come within one decision of winning the $1 million.
Yep.
I if I was on reality TV, I would play exactly that way. Like, I would not, like, the money would not encompass me it would not hinder me at all in terms of like how I would want to play the game. I would want to go out there and play just like I did on Sequester, go out there and play my ass off, be my authentic self, don't let anything hold me back. And if I happen to get to the end and win, so the fuck what? Like, that great, that's awesome. But, and I, in all of the decisions along the way, I will try to make the best strategic moves possible. Can't say that I will, but I'll try. But I won't be like this and want to float. Yeah. Why would you take the opportunity of a lifetime to just float?
I loathe that. I mean, I went on Pro Islands and I said I wanted to be the biggest bad guy in the history. I wanted to create the character Johnny Fairplay. I wanted to have that character on television for as long as possible. And I wanted to be the biggest bad guy in the history of reality television. Should I have added a fourth goal of winning $1 million? Yes. And do I want to punch myself in the face daily for not adding four goals? But I went out there to do three things. Create the character of Johnny Fairplay, keep him on TV, and be the biggest bad guy.
While we're on the subject, because I don't get to podcast with you often, and I don't know if you've answered this before, but like, did you surprise yourself that you were like within like one yes from Lil away from winning the game? Because I think if you get to the end, you win. So
I do. I do win, but no. I mean,
did you surprise yourself, or you?
No. Okay. I didn't. Right. No, I felt I was a huge fan of Real World, more so than I'd never seen Survivor before I was cast. Okay. So I was a big fan of Real World, and I just loved, like, I just thought it was great television. And so, so when I get discovered by Lynn Spillman, and she, like, so I go on eBay, order all the episodes, I'm watching all the episodes, and she's like, what do you think? And I'm like, your show's kind of boring. I don't, and she's like, what do you, I'm like, if you ever watch Real World, it's really good. So when I went out there, I felt the show, kept increasingly getting better. And I I felt like they figured out television better, not
necessarily
a bad cast. I think there's great cast all along the journey. So, but I just, I think they were all figuring out.
But you never doubted yourself though. Like you.
No. Okay, well, I went in, I'm just like, I want to make this show a better TV show. And so I brought that, I brought like piss, fire and vinegar and I'm just because those are the moments on Real World that I thought were the best television.
Of course. Why is it so hard?
Instead of living in a house, we're living on an island. Why can't we have these, these blow ups? It's just like, I don't like you.
Right? What's wrong with saying that?
Yeah. And Richard Hatch, like when I first met him, he was like, I don't respect the way you play the game. Like, you know, if you use logic, but I'm like, motherfucker, I found a loophole in your game. Like the next morning after tribal council, whoever you have a problem with, just go up and go, fuck you. You're a fucking lazy motherfucker. You don't do shit. You don't fucking do shit. Go fuck yourself. It's just like, that's crazy. I'm like, I got 2 days to fucking create a fight between two other people.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But okay, I get that out. I'm making good TV and I can live the next 2 days.
Thank you. I'm with you on that. The making good TV part is the part that I love the most, because it's just like, and you know why you're there, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. It really is. Like, you're never guaranteed another second in TV. Why wouldn't you take that opportunity?
Like, where the fuck is she there? I mean, like, I just want to go in the annals of Big Brother history as being the great. I mean, like, I've never seen it and I won't watch afterwards, but I just want people to No, like, what the fuck is that?
I mean, fuck that. But back to Kylan and why he's my winner pick. He talks in his bio, he's not focusing on TV or the money. He's focusing on winning, and he's just there to win. And like, okay, thank you. I like that. Like, I feel like he is not going to be big move averse. Versus, a lot of these people sitting back. So, good stuff. Let's move on to Tiffany. She is the elder statesperson of the
house.
She
is 40 years old.
Oh,
my
God,
you're old. Oh, my God.
Well,
she's from Detroit, and she's a phlebotomist. Is that blood? Does she work with blood? Is that what that is?
I don't know. I'm pretty smart, but I don't know what that is.
I think that means she tests blood, but someone correct me if I'm wrong.
I think so.
Okay. Fabulous. God bless her.
Yeah.
She was somebody who I liked very much. This sounds so terrible. Like, looking at her, I love her smile. Like, she just lights up a room. So I'm hoping that she has that sort of charm in her day-to-day, like, conversations with people that she can carry. She can use it to carry her through. Because if she doesn't, she could find herself a little bit on the outs. Like, here's the thing. I'm 46, and I bond with 20-year-old people, no problem. But not everybody's like me. Like, I hang around with other people like me, and they get annoyed with people who are in their 20s and 30s. Like, they really, especially if you're in, like, your, you know, 20s or your early 30s, like, they just don't have time for you. They think you're dumb and like you're vapid and shallow, and they don't really understand why you're wasting your life or what you're doing with yourself. So if she's somebody who is driven and you know, obviously seems like she is, the fact that she works in a, you know, pretty technical job, I don't know if she could put up with these people, because they can be a lot. So we'll see.
I think she does better than Brittany, but not by a lot.
Okay.
Ooh, that is damning with faint praise.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
let's keep rolling, and here's someone who I want to damn very much. I hate the shit out of this guy. This is my least favorite person I've ever seen in my life. It's Travis.
Really?
Who's 22, who lives in Honolulu. Oh, my
Aloha, dude.
God. Hey, did I mention he's been sued by multiple titans of industry, man? And like, I'm super cool because my family's so privileged. I got to grow up in Costa Rica and like on an eco farm. And I hate this guy so much.
I'm calling it now. I realize that 99% of Twitter, absolutely, probably more, hates this guy right now. Okay. But I'm telling you what, at some point after about 3 weeks, the house is going to take shape. He's not going to be a part of it. He's going to become like the lovable doofus underdog that we have all of our hopes and dreams in. It's awesome. Overthrowing the power structure and that.
America's player, Travis Long.
I'm just saying, here's the thing. People are annoyed this guy's on the show. I was watching My Weekly Meltdown earlier before you guys, and like they were like, he ended up at the end of their draft. And Allison was so mad that she had Travis. She's like, as it was a personal affront to her. I'm like, okay. He's a little bit of a douche. I get it. He's a womanizer. He's a hoe. He's a man hoe. Like, all of these things. But you need villains on reality TV. I don't want 16 fucking righteous people in the goddamn house, Zach. So I'm thankful that they put this entitled, pompous asshole there. He may even be a little bit of a sexist and chauvinist. But you know what? That's okay. Like,
and
go out
my,
there and
my favorite thing about him, though,
show your ass to the world, and people are going to show you exactly what you are. Like, I would be careful what I say here, but there was some leaked stuff about Survivors 41 and 42, which I will not talk about who's on those shows. But I will tell you that I said the same thing now that I'm saying then. Are we going to get to the point where we just cast, like, you know, 16 Democrats on the show, or like 16 good people on the show? Like, I like having people who bring it in terms of television, because they create drama, create friction, and annoy other people, and create storyboard. If you have people that sit there and sing Kumbaya with each other, it's fucking boring. Okay, Zach, I'm sorry. Yeah. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I mean, if that's what they're going for, it works. I hate this guy. I'm rooting against him the entire time.
That's what they want. Yeah, they know that is you're what they want. Hate him.
Yeah, yep. But can I just point out, his favorite duo in Big Brother history is Brett and Winston.
He's a doofus. Like, he knows, like, like, I mean, like,
hey, that's incredible.
I'm friends with Winston.
I feel like he's in Winston's on the joke. Winston's a nice guy,
but oh, it's like, that made me laugh so hard when I was reading through the bio. Like, that too rich.
I said, I see y'all in the chat. Some of y'all are mad at me. That's fine. I keep it real with you. I'm telling you, we're going to be, at some point, the shoe is going to turn. We're going to be rooting for this guy at some point. I swear to God, it's going to happen. You'll see.
I'm so for it. The first time I met Brent, Winston, sorry. The first time I met Winston was at Hearts Reality. And because he was like, Johnny Fairplay, big fan. I'm just like, thank you. And he goes, did you watch my show? I was like, yeah. He goes, you didn't like me, did you? I'm like, not so much. He was just like, I think I'm okay in real life. I mean, like, he didn't go so far.
That makes me love you, Winston. That's great. Right. At least he has a little self-awareness that he wasn't exactly awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, he wasn't like, no, I'm awesome in real life. You don't understand. He's like, you know, I'm kind of okay. And I'm just like, oh my God, I love this guy. So, and I hung out
with him. That's the key, man. If you can lean into the joke of yourself. I did this when I was on freaking Sequester and made an ass of myself and gave a speech that nobody wanted to hear. Like, if you lean into the joke, you understand why people are irritated with you. People, like, they'll forgive you for everything. Like, if you try to fight it and be holier than thou, that's when people get irritated with you. So like,
real quick on the Survivor 41 and 42 cast, super quick. I think the 42 cast looks better on paper. We'll see. Uh-huh. I don't know. 41, like I understand the what they're trying to do with all future seasons of Survivor and Big Brother, and, you know, just a better look of the world. I live in the South. Okay. I live, you know, North Carolina, Virginia. I live in the South.
Yeah.
And my version of the South with two people representing the South are not a doctor and an artist. I promise you.
That is funny.
So 41, I'm giving an F on casting already. I'm sorry. Like, as I said, I want diversity too. Like, I like Zach and I were talking with Tawana on last week's podcast. You know, I asked Tawana, I'm just like, you know, did you feel being a person of color worked against you? And she's like, no, I felt I had the same chance as everyone else. And Zach, you know, kind of reminded me and the listeners and viewers, it's just like, you know, hopefully this is an idea to, like, we've seen what makes Survivor and Big Brother great is telling those stories of those archetypes. We've already seen all these archetypes that we've seen over the past 10 or 20 years of Survivor. So let's create some new archetypes that we haven't seen yet and learn their stories. And
that's really cool. I will say, insofar as Tawana goes, like, that's freaking awesome. I will just politely point out that it's also true that many people of color and other black players who played Survivor and Big Brother didn't necessarily feel that way. They didn't. Yeah. They didn't personally feel like they had the same chance as everybody else. And of course, you know, their stories must be validated as well. So I think we have to listen to all stories about it. Yeah.
Yeah. We got into a much longer discussion that I would recommend, but we don't need to get into this again. The podcast with Tawana is really good, but people should go listen to it. No, I just didn't want to misrepresent the conversation just because, we talked about, like, Tawana's experience not representing all experiences and how much times have changed.
But for Travis, I'm for it. I'm for him. I think, I mean, like,
me too, man.
I want a bad guy. I want a bad, like you just said, there's, you know, next season of Survivor, there's 16 Democrats guaranteed. You know, throw a Republican on there. Like, I'm not saying I love Republicans. I want a bad guy.
Right.
Well, that's Travis. So let's move on before I just punch my computer into submission.
I don't know if Travis is Republican, but he's definitely.
Oh, he is. He is. Okay. Don't worry.
Okay. I think just while we're at it, I think Brent is also a Republican.
Yeah, yeah.
Like his Rhode Island like voter registration. Although I just want to caution people, especially when you're in your 20s and early 30s, your voter's registration means jack shit. Oh, I think yeah. I was a registered Republican until I was 28 years old because yeah. that's what my parents were.
Exactly.
And, yep. and like I just kept that throughout.
Yeah, when you were 16.
I never thought to change 18. It. Yeah. Yes, yeah. exactly. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, like I formed my own thoughts and was like, even though like by then I was a Democrat, but I never thought I didn't realize that was important. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I'm sure these people don't even know that we can see that who they're aligned with voting for in the state of Rhode Island or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And also fair point. Some of these people are like 21 and 22. So right? I will also oh cut God. Them some slack on oh, like yeah. Yeah. not but, having well, their full life figured out and at, changing as people. So
yeah. At 21, 22, you know, everything.
Yeah, of course. Well, we've got two left. We're at the final two. Next up is Whitney. She's Portland. She is a makeup artist, and she is 30. All of her bio is talking how much she loves the showmances. My question about her is, she has kids, but is she in a relationship?
I mean, I'm hoping not. And if
I
she
think
is,
she's
I'm hoping...
single and looking to mingle.
I'm yeah. hoping she is, because I think... Well, there's many, many men in the house that she could get single and be ready to mingle with. Like, I she's somebody who, like, I feel like we've seen 1,000 of her, and like, she's going to have to reach out and grab my attention in order for me to pay attention to her, because I've seen this casting so many times. It's the blonde, mm-hmm. bombshell, trim, southern. You know, girl who, you know, kind of bats her eyes at you and like lets other people lead, like. Do something different. Like Fairplay said, show me a different story to your arc. Show me a different side of who you are. Like, yeah. why don't you take the lead? Why don't you, like, we know there's a team twist coming. Why don't you win one of the four captainships and take the lead? Why don't you win HOH and do something about it right at the beginning of the game and form an alliance? Like, it would blow my mind if a chick like this did something like that. But, you know, people just tend to fall into their own predetermined pods, and I'm just hoping that she doesn't do that.
Yeah, it's like they watch the game and they're just like, oh well, this is how it is. And I'm just like, what's the difference between you and anyone else?
Mm-hmm. Some the people are, you know, Fairplay Fishback talks about this on Know It Alls. Like, people are always the hero of their own story. They're always the legend in their own mind. And so, like, they, even though they know that there are people out there like them that have been on shows before, they think no one has ever done it greater than me, and no one ever will. And even though that's not true, they talk themselves into believing that.
Are you trying to say my good friend Jacob from David or from Ghost Island?
Oh my God. Wow. I ripped him pretty bad.
Oh,
yeah.
I made a Nacho Libre shirt with his face on it, and he did not like it.
He got shockingly. Mad at me too. I think he got mad at me too. Yeah. I'm like, you said, you know what? You put yourself out there. You gotta take the hit, man.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people get real mad. Life.
Met him in real life, not that much better.
Oh wow. Oh, that's geez. Disappointing. Yeah, oh wow. We're just bagging on him tonight. All right.
All right. Sorry, Jacob.
Well, Whitney is the one I was talking about earlier, when there's like two sides of the coin when you say, like, I'm gonna go into the house flexible, where we had someone earlier saying, you know, I don't want to go in with a set plan and lock myself in. I wanna remain open to all options because this is a game where you have to be really flexible. She conversely is saying, I'm not coming in with a plan. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That's the worst strategy. That means there's no prep. So she could be carried if she's showmance eligible. She could just drift through, but I don't see good things.
I don't want drifting. Her strategy, I will be very angry.
Her strategy is showmance.
Yes, her strategy is showmance. I agree. Well, that's what she talked about.
I mean, you know what? That's not the worst thing. I'm actually somebody who's not anti-showmance. I mean,
I'm not anti-showmance.
I don't love them, but I'd rather her do that than do nothing. Like, so yep. like, at least get into a showmance and make me entertain me in some
and
way.
Let me go to bbnudes.com.
Or make me root against you. Like, I want to root against people. That's why I don't want to always talk about myself and my experience, but like, that's why I knew that there were times where I was annoying the fuck out of people on Sequester. I didn't care because, you know, it was my authentic self. And number two, I knew that it was going to make good TV. So who the fuck cares? Like, well, just go out there and be who you are. People will love it. or hate you, but at least you're going to get a reaction out of people. You don't want to be somebody who's on TV and people look at you and go, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Who was the fourth boot? I don't know exactly.
Right. Fair play. Did you know? I don't know if you know this about me before you hired me, that I actually was I'm the only person in the entire RHAP universe that did this. I would take my haters from Survivor Sucks, and I would put them all together and I would tweet like excerpts from them with all the people that hated me and said awful things about me, because like, bitch, I can take it. Like, you come with, if you're going to take a swing at me, it better be fucking good. Like, yeah. And there's so many people out there who just can't fucking do that. So go out there and put yourself out there and just let the chips fall where they may, man.
Oh, Survivor Sucks. You're going to make me cry.
Good times, man. Good times.
We are to the last guy here. Is it Xavier or Xavier?
Marry me now. That's all I can say.
It is Mr. Brent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's Poppy. Very good looking.
Yeah. He is stunning.
He's an attorney. He's in his late 20s. He's 27. He's in Wisconsin. Hey, not too far away.
Okay.
He can join us July 17th and
let's hope he's still in the house.
Oh yeah, never mind. Sorry, Xavier.
The one thing that stood out to me is he checks Chilltown RIP as his favorite duo, which he's up on current stuff in the Big Brother universe.
Chilltown.
So. Yep.
That's that really takes some digging too. Most people are not aware that like Mike and Boogie have had a falling out. Boogie and Will have had a falling out, obviously.
I mean, Mike and Boogie might have also had a falling out.
That's true. That's very true. But I'm also with you. He talks about Brittany Haynes' goodbye message to Boogie and Danielle Reyes on BB3. Like, I don't know who the fuck does that, but like, I'm really excited about this guy. Like, he's a lawyer. So I feel like he knows how to put on a different face. Like, you know, you have your courtroom face and your, you know, your real life face and like your professional face. Like when you're like just talking to a client, like I feel like he's somebody who if I had to make a winner pick, I would pick this guy. I think he's just amazing. Like, and he's so handsome and so big. And I know that he's a little bit of I'm a little bit of a size queen. So like the fact that he's so massive, like these people are going to take note of him. But I still feel like on a season like this, he's got a chance, man. I really do. So I like his chances.
Do you think he tells others that he's a lawyer?
No. I don't feel like there's any way you can spin that into a good thing.
No, I mean, with how he looks and being the lawyer, like, that's the best of both worlds. And just, let's just say for argument's sake, he has an amazing social game. Then he's hitting the fucking trifecta. He's fucking gone.
I mean,
oh my God, he's so great. Goodbye.
The only thing he can do is like maybe tell people he's an attorney if he feels like he's got a target on his back. But I feel like that just augments your target. Yeah. Like, I mean, but the only other thing you can do is say like, well, you do, you know, pro bono work for like disadvantaged people
or poor
people. But that doesn't help either, because then people want to vote you out even more. Like, there's no right answer here.
Well, so if you do pro bono work, that means you have other money.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know, Heather. He could be a public defender, but there's no good answer. Like, he's either somebody you hate or somebody you can't take to the end. There's no way that you can. There's no way he can be honest about who he is.
He should do a fake job, just like a law clerk or something.
A law clerk. Yes,
he's young enough. He looks young enough that he could pull off being early
27. I don't know. He looks like a cop, but I don't think cop helps him either.
No.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I wouldn't want to. Yeah, if you work, yeah.
I
mean,
I don't know. Like, there, does anyone work anymore? I just don't even know what occupations are anymore.
Yes. By the way, just because I like to call people out in the comments. I was like, it thought it disappeared. Jay-Z Davis clearly stacked for a black male winner. Bitch, do you know how many seasons of Big Brother have been stacked for a white male winner? Do you know how many seasons of Big Brother and Survivor have been stacked for a white winner, period? Where there's like 20 people on the fucking cast and 18 people are white. And oh, look, there's a black woman and an Indian man. We did diversity. Fuck you, dude. Like, you really don't know what you're talking about. Like, the fact that this is literally an even Steven season of Big Brother, where everybody has a chance because they have people around them who look like them and come from cultures like them, I feel like gives anybody on this cast a fair shot to win. So,
yeah.
Ooh. Fuck off.
How about this? Xavier Prather, casino dealer.
I like it. That sounds good.
I would believe him to be a casino dealer.
Yes.
He would have to know a lot about casinos.
That's true. I still feel like law clerk's the better way to go.
Yeah.
No, casino dealer, like you're not thinking this guy's fucking like stashed away fucking millions as a casino dealer. Possibly on Rogue One.
Oh God. It comes full circle. No, yeah. my biggest concern with this guy is he lists that he's a Taurus. And so if he's self-identifying and putting it in his bio that he's a Taurus, I think he's going to be very pigheaded. I don't think he's going to want to work well with others. So that could be problematic. Maybe a Devon downside.
Okay. Yeah, that's a possibility.
But I still think it's a good pick. I like him. I don't think it's a bad pick, but that's the only thing that gives me pause.
Yeah, I suppose that's the only thing that gives me pause too. But like everything else looks fabulous. So he's still my winner pick.
Yeah. Well, Johnny, you have not chosen a winner pick. We are at the end of the cast.
I'm going Frenchie.
Oh, you did say Frenchie, didn't you?
Frenchie, no, fair play. Do you know that Twitter's a little down on Frenchie? They're not living for him.
After reevaluating and discussing with you guys, I like Smoking Joe's kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't want to be a piggybacker.
Okay, yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, like, Frenchie could win.
If I could change, I would change to Derek Frazier. However, I'm going to stick with Frenchie.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So that's one Smoking Derek Frazier, one Frenchie, one Kyland, and one Xavier. Those were all at the top of my list. Not Frenchie, but the other three.
And I want to pick. I'm with Stacey. I want to pick Azar. I really do. I just feel like she's just too good to be true. Like she's everything. Yep. Like it's like the magic egg where like the magic egg will fulfill all your hopes and dreams. Like I feel like that's what she is. But
who was the girl on last season of Big Brother Canada? Like on paper, LaToya. Like, oh my God, there's no way she can lose.
LaToya, yeah. Yeah.
And did then she lose?
She was kind of hardcore, yeah. But she was great. I loved her.
Amazing television.
Loved her at the end. Didn't want her to go. It got boring after she left. I'll just say that.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, all right. I think we killed it. Are we missing anything for this season? Yeah. No. Well, I'm ready for the season to get going. I'm excited.
Look, I want to say something really quick. I saw that they're going to do teams. Look, dude, they did this like in 18, okay? Like they always do teams like every 4 or 5 freaking years, and it always lasts like anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, and then they get rid of it. Like if you're somebody who is there to play to win, tolerate the twist at the beginning, use it to your advantage if you can form an alliance, but just get through it until you can play the real fucking game. I guarantee you there's going to come a point like in the second or third week, somebody's going to win HOH and they want to target somebody that's on their goddamn team. That's how it always works in these team twists. That's what happens every freaking time. I still go back to when, like, was it Bridget or like, I can't even remember, Frank, somebody on 18 won HOH and they couldn't target Paul or somebody aside, maybe it was Polly. That's who it was. They couldn't target him because she was on the same team as him. So the teams always get in the way. I don't know why they're doing it, but they love to fuck with the format. So whatever, I'll put up with it until we can get to the good shit. But this cast is rocking.
I can't wait. And this whole season, Brent, you are going to be on with Bobby Wednesday nights. Is that correct?
I am. Yes. Wednesday nights. I would love, for people who, I had somebody ask me this today. So somebody seriously said to me, so Fairplay will only let you podcast once a week?
Yes.
I'm like,
true. That's what I said.
Like, are you smoking crack? I would be on here 7 days a week if I could be. Like, I have a life. I got things to do. I got a job. And things are not as they once were. So, like, I'm like, to totally put it out there, I have to have some free time. I'm freaking dating, for God's sake. I'm trying to develop a new relationship, and I don't want to spend it all on a goddamn podcast every night like I did for the past 6 years. So I just want a little bit of free time to myself. So once a week is fine with me.
Yes, it's fine. It's fine with us, and we're so happy to have you guys covering the entire season of Big Brother 23.
Yes, very excited about that.
And if you guys are jonesing for more live video content, I don't know if Zach can switch it. Fuck it. Let's just make a. I'm about to go on live next with Jack slash Emily from season two of The Circle. Right after.
Oh, I am. This. I'm friends with Jack. I love him. Yes.
You want to join?
I play. I can join from the beginning because. But okay. Full disclosure, I really didn't watch this season very much, so don't tell him. That. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we won't tell him.
It's because I know it's not because of Jack. I watched Jack on Big Brother Columbus. I just don't love the Circle. I'm not a big
Circle. There we go. Okay, well, cool. So if you guys want a little more Brent, and you want me, and you want Jack slash Emily from The Circle, we're going to end this podcast, and in 5 minutes, we're going to go live again. So
cool. Sounds good.
Thank you, everybody. Can't wait for the season.
Good night. See you then.
Breaking news. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they've successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we're one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, I've had my moments in the past where I tried to use the old disposable razor, tried to do some shaving. Oh my God, it looked like a 1980s NWA world title match. Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes wearing the Crimson Mask. Not anymore. No way, Jose. Oh my God, we're talking what makes this trimmer different than the other trimmers. It's a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock created for people who like to travel like me. I'm in Miami once a month for wrestling. I got Paola from 90 Day Fiancé. She's not checking out my balls, but if she did, oh, I would be ready. Now, we also have the Lawnmower 4.0 giving you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. And the new trimmer allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard links with sizes 1 through 4. And looks wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish. Even features a hot foil stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud.
The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is also waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on your bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So here you go. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code SURVIVOR. They love it when we do that at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. manscaped.com. Use that promo code SURVIVOR and unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.